Hello, welcome to Pharma Marketing Talk. This is your host, Pharma Guy, also known as John Mack. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Richard Meyer, who's the Chief Digital Strategy Officer at Online Strategic Solutions. And we're going to be talking about a phone survey he conducted recently for a client, and the purpose of that survey was to determine the effectiveness of pharmaceutical direct-to-consumer advertising, I think mostly on TV. So let me just say hello. Hi, Rich. You want to introduce yourself a little better than what I did?
Yeah, sure. My name is Rich Meyer. I reside in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with part-time residence down in Naples, Florida, and I am Chief Digital Strategy Officer for Online Strategic Solutions. We provide online digital strategies for pharmaceutical, healthcare marketers, as well as some consumer package marketers, not only online, but in the mobile space as well.
Okay, so you sent me some information about your survey on the effectiveness of pharmaceutical DTC advertising. Can we begin by just talking a little bit about that? Because I have it here on my screen.
Sure,
with the methodology.
Yeah, basically, the objective was a client was getting ready to re-DTC launch a product that has been out for some time, and they were having difficulty trying to determine the best channel to utilize and to allocate a majority of their budget to relaunch this product. It was a multi-million dollar launch, and basically what we wanted to do is find out whether TV would be a viable option and, in fact, has DT advertising, specifically on TV, is it really as effective as it had been in the past? So what we did is we set up a quantitative survey online, an intercept survey. We got about 3,419 responses before we terminated the survey. The respondents ranged in age from 24 to 67 years old. If they didn't watch more than 10 hours of TVs per week non-streaming, then they would not be allowed to take the survey. And basically, there were five winners that were entered into a contest to receive Visa gift cards with a value of $1,500. So that's basically where it was. It took us approximately, 45 days to get the 3,419 people to fill out the survey. There were only 34 questions. I have to go back and look, but there were only 34 questions. It was relatively easy, and the margin error was plus or minus 3%. So we were very comfortable with the results moving forward and what they told us.
Okay, great. So we can talk about some of the results. I know you sent me this deck here. You want to start wherever you feel,
sure.
I guess.
Basically, we started the survey after a couple of qualifying questions. We asked them, do you watch and or like prescription drug TV ads? And what we found was that overwhelmingly 70%, more than 70% of people said no. When we asked them why don't they like the prescription drug TV advertising, the biggest reasons were that they were A, boring, B, that they were intrusive, C, that they didn't give enough information, and even that kept popping up on the list were that the ads were mistrustful. Now, we did probe a little bit. If somebody put in mistrustful and checked the box mistrustful and asked them why, and basically it comes back to what we've been seeing with Gallup and Harris polls, is that the pharmaceutical industry is not really trusted right now with all the negative media coverage about high drug prices and about pharmaceutical companies kind of skirting the FDA best practices in marketing. That wasn't really surprising. What's surprising surprised us is that a lot of consumers are really buying into the headlines that they see online that have to do with negative perceptions about pharmaceutical advertising. We then went to find out and said, okay, well, if you're a diabetic and a commercial came on, for example, for a new diabetes product, you know, if a prescription drug TV ad interests you, what are you going to do as a result of seeing that ad on TV? And again, the result here was overwhelmingly, a little over 70% said they would go online to get more information. A little over 10% said they would ask their doctor about it, and a little more than 25% said that they would ask a family member about it. Nothing new really here. We knew that most people are going to go online to learn more about it. This is especially true when you look at Nielsen data that has just come out recently that continues to show that while people are watching TV, they actually tend to multitask. They have their iPads or smartphones with them, and when a commercial comes on, they tend to multitask. Even during the TV, if something is boring them, they'll multitask. We then wanted to know, okay, well, if they go online, then where are they going to get information about prescription drugs? Now, we did find out that the first place that they go is consistent with what Google found a while back, is they're going to go to a search engine. That's the first place they start. But we wanted to know a little bit more than that. And most people said that they would go to a health portal, and the number one health portal that kept coming up was WebMD. Close to 80% of people said that they would go to a health portal. A little under 40% said that they would go to social media. And this really falls in line with what I've been hearing with qualitative research. People are becoming smarter on how to use social media, how to do searches on social media about products, brands, certain things like that. About a little over 20% said that we would go on to an online health community, provided that they could be anonymous. If they had to register to view the information, that number dropped way down to about 8%. And a little over 35% said that they would go to a pharma company-sponsored website, i.e. a drug.com website. Well, what we wanted to know then, okay, so we know that they're going online. They're going to a pharma company drug website, and they're going to health portals. But do pharma company drug websites, are they doing the job as far as DTC marketing to get people into their doctor to ask for a prescription? And overwhelmingly, 71% said no. 22% said yes, and 11% said that they weren't sure. Now, why are they saying no? Because most drug company websites, A, they don't have the information that they want, and B, when the information is available, what we heard in the survey was that it was either too long, too hard to read, or too technical. It just wasn't, the content just wasn't user friendly. So we then went back to all right, well, let's take a step back and see what their feelings are about prescription drug TV advertising. And we asked them, you know, do drug companies advertise prescription drugs too much on TV? Overwhelmingly, over 80% said yes, they do. Only a little over 10% said no. And when we then wanted to know, okay, if you feel that they're advertising drugs on TV too much and you're not really paying attention to them, what about fair balance, which takes up a lot of time in the commercial? Do you pay attention to drug side effects and TV ads? Was one of our questions. Interestingly enough, only 21% said yes. Most of the respondents said no. Close to 70% said no, and less than 10% said somewhat. Now we did a little bit of a deep dive on this, and we asked them, why don't you pay attention to drug side effects? And most of them said it's not relevant to me. However, One thing that they did remember, we asked them if they had seen some prescription drug TV ads. If you've seen one in the last couple of weeks without necessarily naming the product or the brand, can you remember the side effects? And some of the side effects that were remembered were death, cancer, diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting. And it's interesting that obviously all those have to do with quality of life information. We then wanted to find out if they really trust the information in drug company TV ads. And again, a astounding 77% said no. Only 14% said somewhat, and 11% said yes. We did a subsequent question on this, which my client gave me permission to release, and ask them and kind of let them know that drug advertising is regulated by the FDA as far as what drug companies can say and what they can't say. But and we asked them to fill in, does this make you feel better about drug company advertising? Again, 70% of people said no. When we dove a little bit deeper in this and said why, again, most of the people said that they felt the FDA, quote, was in the back pockets of the drug companies. So what did all this research basically tell us? It told me and it told the client that although DTC advertising might on TV might be great at raising awareness, that drug companies probably are spending and wasting a lot of money on TV unnecessarily. With the Affordable Care Act and what's happening in healthcare today, there are a lot of hurdles to get over to get a patient into the doctor, and once they're into the doctor, to actually ask for your prescription and actually get a prescription. As I had said yesterday in my blog, it was interesting that when I met with my neurologist earlier this week, she gave me a couple of drug samples, and before she gave me the samples, she kind of said, you know, you might want to check with your insurer to make sure your insurer covers these drugs. She's like, I really hate to give out samples and have people come back and say they like the product only to find out that their insurer has it on tier 2 or tier 3 or doesn't cover it at all. So there's a lot of opportunity here for drug company advertisers to do more. And when I say do more, I mean downstream marketing. That is, once you have the awareness of your drug at a certain level, whether it's through TV, print, and online, or combined, we need to start thinking about, okay, we've done that. Now, how do we pull them into the brand? And obviously, a lot of companies are ignoring that online experience. When I met with the client out in California, it was interesting. We actually looked at four drug websites at the same time up on this big screen, and it was interesting, John, because what we saw basically were four websites for four different completely products that looked essentially all the same, as far as the information, the way the information was laid out. None of the content really spoke to patients as the way I'm talking to you now. It was all more generic pamphlet language, I would describe it, or generic language, as I would describe it. And so there's an opportunity there. Second, there's an opportunity if you're going to lead the space, for example, in a diabetes product or a new depression product, there's an opportunity to own that space online. When I say own that space online, people should not have to go to a health portal to get more information about depression or diabetes. If you really want your brand to stand out, then your brand needs to be the go-to place where people go to get health information online. When something in the media breaks about the disease, about the health condition, you can't wait months to get that content up on your website. You have to be the go-to website for people who are interested or caregivers who are interested so that they can get the information not only from your point of view, but you're kind of the go-to brand and you provide them with rich information. Given what happened in the Super Bowl and the pushback in the Super Bowl and the continuing presence of a lot of brands on TV, I think DTC marketers need to take a step back and really look at the effectiveness of TV. It's interesting to note that in the consumer product goods area, John, a lot of companies are beefing up digital capabilities and reducing TV spots, while some other companies are actually going more digital, completely more digital, and killing TV. P&G, for example, is going to spend a lot more money on digital than TV in the coming year. So I think that's a trend that DTC marketers need to be aware of. The key takeaway for me and for the client on this was there were a lot of opportunities to do things online to bring people into the brand, and once we have them into the brand, to keep them engaged with that brand. We need to do a better job. We have to do a better job, and TV is not necessarily the answer.
Okay, well, there's a lot there to think about, Rich. So let me start with, I just recently found out that the FDA is going to be posting a new survey, their own survey, of direct-to-consumer advertising. And they noted that the last time they did such a survey was in 2002, and they said numerous changes have affected the DTC landscape since then, including declines in print readership, the rise in online prescription drug promotion, and self-imposed industry guidelines for DTC advertising. And it seems that they're going to focus somewhat on online format. So I guess the FDA is getting ready to look more closely at online direct-to-consumer advertising. Do you have any comments?
Yes. Well, it's long overdue, John. I mean, the FDA has been, if you will, living in the past. They still feel that if somebody sees a drug ad on TV, that they're going to run right to their doctor and ask for an about it or for an Rx. We know this doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't. What happens is people go online, they ask their doctor about it, they want to know how much the drug costs, they want to know what the side effects are. So the days of somebody seeing a TV ad, not only for prescription drugs, but just about for any product that's not an impulse buy, people are going online and they want to learn about it. They become very savvy as far as using online and social media to find out exactly what they need to know about the product before making a purchase decision, and that's exactly what they're doing. So it's long overdue that the FDA took this kind of approach. I've long been saying that what the FDA needs to do is find out or learn exactly what are the top influencers in people who ask for an Rx. What really drives them to ask for an Rx? And we're actually going to do that research starting next month to find out. What we found out in the past was doctor recommended it. My doctor recommended it. And we still think that's there. But what about for drugs that people go in and specifically ask about before their doctor recommends it? What do we know? What are the top drivers? So we're going to look at that as well.
Okay. I seem to remember some research in that area, but I also want to comment on something else you mentioned about pharmaceutical companies can't wait to update their website when there's, breaking news or there's more of a focus on their particular therapeutic area or so forth. And you said they should update their websites fairly quickly or maybe engage in social media. But what about the medical legal review processes? Does that hold them up, do you think?
Yes, it does. Medical, legal, and regulatory people tend to be, in most companies, very, very conservative. Now, the way that I got around this when I worked at Lilly and I was in charge of the Cialis website was basically when we had content that needed to be updated relatively quickly, there were weekly MLR meetings, and you had to get on the calendar, and things had to be reviewed beforehand. What I actually did was developed a IT program that would send the content around and let people edit it, and then we could post it relatively quickly. That worked very, very well for us. The other thing that worked very well for us was when we launched Sarafem, and I had a patient bulletin board where people could post things on the bulletin board. Same thing. Before the post went live, it came to me. I would edit it. It would go to the MLR team, and within 2 or 3 days, it would go live. But what you need to think about is that information today is golden, and that's why so many people are going online. If you take your time and let your processes slow the update of information on a website, then you're a dinosaur. It doesn't do any good. So we really need to take a step back and say, how can we align our processes and get our medical, legal, and regulatory people to understand the importance of getting information up on our website as quickly as possible so that we are, quote, the brand spokespeople for this health condition, whatever that health condition might be. I agree with you 100%. It is a challenge, and there are some risks involved, but if you work very closely with your legal, regulatory, and medical people and let them know the why and the how, those risks can be managed very effectively.
Okay. The other interesting thing you mentioned was about the packaged goods industry, I guess, and you used the phrase kill TV, as they're moving away from TV to other formats, including online. In regard to recent calls for direct-to-consumer moratoriums or banning direct-to-consumer advertising altogether, perhaps it might be something to think about. Other people might think about. I don't know how I feel about it, but killing or banning just the TV direct-to-consumer advertising, which seems to get the pharmaceutical industry into a lot of trouble, as you mentioned, with the Super Bowl and ads on the Super Bowl, and it went all the way to the White House. Do you think there's any possibility of lawmakers or the FDA or whomever banning direct-to-consumer advertising of pharmaceutical products, whether it be across the board or just on TV?
I don't think that's likely to happen for a couple reasons. Pharmaceutical companies, first, are businesses, and they have the right to advertise their products wherever they want to advertise their products. Secondly, it's kind of a myopic view of DTC TV advertising. Again, the lawmaker, I believe she's from Connecticut, who proposes legislation, is basically saying that these ads are going to be so influential that they're going to drive people to ask for drugs, higher priced drugs that they don't need or shouldn't get. And we know that's not the case. Eli Lilly did a study many years ago, not many years ago, I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, that showed that actually DTC advertising raises awareness about health conditions and health problems. The days of going into your doctor, John, and having a heart-to-heart general talk about your health and about medications and things like that, I think are in danger of coming to an end. Right now, doctors treat conditions, they don't treat patients. The number one complaint that patients have when they see their doctor is that they feel that their doctor doesn't listen to them and that they don't have enough time to really communicate with their doctor. So I don't think that's going to happen. I believe the drug industry can produce enough data to show that DTC ads are effective in getting people into their doctor, and they can also show that in fact that people are not blindly looking at a TV commercial and then going into their doctor and saying, I saw this ad on TV, I want this drug. The other thing also is the AMA should be stepping up here, because research over the years, one thing has remained constant, and that is that the doctor is the gatekeeper. If the doctor feels the drug is right for the patient, then they'll prescribe it. If they feel it's not right, they won't prescribe it. And finally, even if they go in and ask for a drug, if it's not a good drug that is better than other drugs on the market, insurers are not going to cover it in a tier one copay. So that's the other issue as well. So I think that's kind of a myopic view, and frankly, I don't see it changing anytime soon. What I have not seen, frankly, is that to pull people in, that when you run an ad for a DTC product like Advair, and you say our goal is to make sure that X number of people who have asthma are aware of Advair as a treatment, once you reach that point, what do we do next? How do we get people into the brand? And just running more TV spots for the sake of running TV spots to the point where you know them backwards and forwards is not the way to go. It's just a waste of budget dollars at this point in time.
Well, why don't we summarize your feelings on either based on the survey or something else on the effectiveness of specifically DTC advertising on TV. I mean, it seems from this survey, it's not too effective, but yet it drives people online, and it must be.
Yeah, exactly. I think, John, we need to have an objective. We can't say that we're going to run DTC for 6 months on these channels with this reach and frequency. There's something in marketing called effective reach and frequency. And basically what that means is what's the effective reach and frequency to get to your target audience, to get them to take action. Right now, DTC marketers feel that just repeating the spots over and over and over again, like car insurance commercials, are going to cause people to take action. That's not the case. I believe they need to measure how many people are aware in their target audience of their treatment, and then find out what these people are doing, and then use a strategy to pull it in. I'm not saying that all DTC advertising on TV should be stopped. What I'm saying is it needs to be carefully measured. And once you reach a certain plateau objective, then you need to start thinking about, all right, we've got 80% awareness within our target audience. Now, how can we pull these people into the brand to get them to go to their doctor to ask for an RX? What are the primary motivators? What can we do online in most cases, because that's where people are going, or at the doctor's office to get them to ask for the product? And I just wanted to add one more thing, John. A lot of these people that are talking about DTC ads are also suggesting that doctors are influenced by pharma sales reps to prescribe drugs that are not good, or just because they're being heavily advertised. That by far is not true. What I've seen over the last 2 years is doctors are not, I don't want to say mistrustful, but doctors are fact-checking drug reps, and they're going online and reading independent journal articles and talking to peers about certain drugs. No doctor is going to prescribe a drug because a pharma rep came in and bought them a pizza or gave them a stethoscope or something like that. They're not going to prescribe it for a patient unless they feel it's right for their patient.
All right. Don't start talking to me about pharma reps visiting doctor's offices with pizza. I had a run-in with a Pfizer rep yesterday.
Well, like I said, I saw three reps come into the neurologist's office, and all they did was drop off samples and had the girl behind the glass sign the iPad, and they were gone. So I'm not sure that the days of pharma reps are coming to the end, but I think I just wrote about a new study from InTouch Solutions that basically shows that doctors prefer e-detailing over live detailing, and I think eventually that's going to be the way to go. It's just a matter of how do we measure it, and how do we make sure it's effective.
All right, that's a complete whole new topic. So, Rich, I'd like to thank you for being a guest. And is there any closing statement you'd like to make before we end the show?
I just want to say that thank you to all the people who were hardworking within the pharmaceutical industry who put patients first. A patient-centric strategy and a patient-centric organization is definitely the way to go. I understand the need for return on investment, given the changing pharma business model, but it's coming at a time where patients really need help getting through this maze that we call healthcare. They really need handholding. Approach it with empathy and try and think like a patient, and I believe your DTC marketing will succeed.
Okay, very good. So that will do it for this show. I'd like to thank my guest, Rich Meyer, and thank you for listening. So this is Pharma Guy saying goodbye until next time. Bye, Rich. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
If he were to criticize your ad campaign, you would have to fight off a strong urge to thank him. If he was to praise your marketing campaign, you would list it on your resume. Whatever side of a pharma marketing issue Pharma Guy's currently on is the right side, even if he crosses over to the other side.